Well, hey friends, wherever you are, happy Friday. Welcome to my weekly Q&A session. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to be tackling five questions on hearing from God. How do we hear from God? What are the practicalities of that? What are the dangers of trying to hear from God? How do we hear from God without being weird? How do we grow practically? Like literally, how do we hear from God? Five great questions today, and we're going to jump into those in a moment. Well, I am in Ireland. I'm in Northern Ireland right now, in the city of Belfast. Be here for another 6 days. I had a great service the other night with a couple of great friends in Cookstown. This evening, I'm in Belfast. Sunday, I'm in Donaghadee, right on the coast. I love the name of that place, Donaghadee. I have a day off Monday. Tuesday, I will be in County Monaghan, the Republic, and on Wednesday in the Vibe Church in Armagh. Let me just say, back in the US as well, this coming Saturday, we are doing a seminar on this very subject, how to hear from God. So a seminar on hearing from God, Saturday of next week, that would be March the 18th. In Norwalk, Connecticut. Visit the NEF.church website for details. The Sunday after that, I will be in Sturbridge Worship Center, New England Fellowship, two services that Sunday. Good. Well, hey, let's grab our Bibles, notepads and pens and jump into this. Hey, few other quick things as well. I have a brand new series out on prayer. It's going live. I think it's just about probably gone live in the US. So 12 lessons on prayer. Prayer that works. Prayer that brings results. So check that out on my YouTube channel. I'm also going to put together those 12 audios and my teaching notes as a download that you can get for $20 if you're interested. If that's a problem to you, write to me and we'll give it to you for whatever you can afford. Really want to get the word in front of people. And lastly, if you're not yet part of our monthly mentoring Zoom call, really encourage you to check that out. It's the first Saturday of every month at 8 o'clock New York time. So apologies for those on the West Coast or further afield, but makes it easier for my European friends as well. So 8 a.m. first Saturday of every month. Details on my website or ministryschool.net. Good. So let's begin these questions today. Really all about hearing from God. I'm going to try to take about 3 minutes each on these questions, but that can be hard to do with a deep subject. So question number one, does God still speak today? Answer yes. You know, it's interesting. Ruth Heflin used to talk about, I once heard her say in the 90s, she said, I'd like to sell a 6-CD set on how to hear God's voice. And people would buy or order this, CD series. It was the 90s. And she said, I'm just going to send them 6 blank CDs. And they're going to listen to an hour of silence. And then put CD number 2 in and an hour of silence and number 3. And she said, after 6 hours of silence, they might begin to hear from God. So does God speak today? Absolutely. We have a speaking God. God has never stopped speaking. God is not a dumb idol. God has spoken in various and sundry ways, has in the last days spoken unto us by his Son. So God is always speaking. He always has spoken. He spoke through the prophets. You know, he wrote on the wall in Babylon. He spoke through a donkey. Speaks to us through, as Romans 1 says, creation. But he speaks to us primarily through his Son. He speaks to us through his word. And by that I mean his living word, Jesus, but his written word, the Bible. But here's a challenge as well. If we're going to be a Bible-believing people, then we have to believe in God speaking to us individually and corporately in a now sense. If you want to, I would call that the prophetic as a loose kind of umbrella term. We've got to believe in the practicalities of God speaking and leading and guiding us. And what doesn't work, both theologically and practically, there's orthodoxy, what we believe, but orthopraxy, what we actually do. So what doesn't work is when somebody comes along and says, well, we are a Bible-believing church, but we don't have people speak in tongues. We don't have people prophesy. It's dangerous to try. We only hear from God in the Bible. The problem is the very Bible people claim to be following talks about prophecy, and it says, don't forbid these things. Paul the Apostle said, I want you all to prophesy. He said, I want you all to speak in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So it's really important that we do these things, but it's important we do them well and safely. So absolutely, God speaks. God speaks through His Word. God speaks in big things. God speaks in small things. And God wants to be a part of our life in terms of leading and guiding. I believe He wants us to have a word where, you know, I did it this morning. My normal MO is to get up, grab a cup of coffee and grab my Bible, and I'm reading through various parts of the Bible and I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. And then secondly, I'll take, you know, verses I've learned over the years and I will declare them over my life. And I don't believe in anything like I believe in this. But again, because I believe in this, I am interested in God speaking in the now, speaking, leading and guiding me, giving me keys that will open people's hearts, speaking to me. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He'll lead you into the truth. Amen. But He'll show you things to come. And hearing from God should be natural and normal. So does God still speak today? You bet your life He does. Absolutely. Anybody saying anything else is just playing origami with the Bible. Good. So let's move on. And the next few of these next questions will help you. Question number two, is it dangerous to try and hear from God? I love that question. Well, let me be honest, it can be. And again, before some of my charismatic friends jump all over me, I think we've got to be real and got to be honest with this. And I want to contend for a life where we really hear from God in dramatic, glorious, powerful, clear, amazing ways. And yet at the same time, we're honest if we miss it. We're honest if we mess up. We're honest. And we don't become weird, which is a later question as well. So I want to say that it can be. Hearing from God is not dangerous. Let me phrase it in this way. To hear from God is never dangerous. To think you have heard from God when you have not heard from God can be very dangerous. To hear from God is not dangerous. To hear from God and put your own interpretation, spin, timing, application upon what you have genuinely heard from God actually is dangerous. So the key, what a lot of churches have done with the subject is just said, yeah, there's an inherent danger and possibility for stupidity around this subject. So we'll just leave it alone. We'll just play in the shallow end of the pool. We'll just stay safe. And if we never try to hear from God, we'll never get any mistakes. And I know that especially as pastors, because people will come to you with the weirdest things and they'll want to put a tagline on it that says, God told me to do this. I actually have a rule in my church. If you're going to tell me God told me to do this, well, why are you telling me? Don't bother. Who am I to argue with God? But don't do that anywhere near me. The problem is it's like playing a veto card. And I think at very best, we should say, hey, I think God might have said this to me. And I want to discern that. I want to test that. I want other people to speak into that thing. So some people go, it's dangerous to hear from God. We'll stay away from that. I think that's dumb and stupid. I think the challenge of the church, and there are churches that are doing this well, is saying, well, God does speak, but people's mind speaks. Maybe the devil speaks. Pizza speaks. You know, it's like at times other things get in that mix. And rather than fall into the ditch of running away from the subject or the ditch of saying, oh, just anything goes, hey, if God said it, go for it kind of thing. What we should do is be people of the book, be people of the word, be people who are walking in fellowship, be people who have leaders and godly men and women in our life. What we should do is walk in humility. What we should do is look at the church as a safe place to make small mistakes and to learn and to stretch and to grow and to build good history. So I believe, yeah, there's a ditch of ignoring this subject, ditch of just doing crazy things. And then there's a glorious highway of holiness where Jesus says, follow me, and we can learn to do these things well. Boom. So question number three, how do I hear from God without being weird? Why are you asking me? I don't know. Now, let me put it this way. When we hear from God, if we genuinely hear from God, then that's coming from God. If we're hearing from God and it looks weird, all of the weird stuff usually comes from us. And here's how we can do this. I actually think humility is a really natural key. You know, the Bible says Jesus was natural and normal. He said, learn of me, I'm simple, I'm lowly of heart. Isaiah prophesies of Jesus and says, in a sense, there's nothing in the flesh, nothing physically, that we would find endearing about Jesus. Jesus was not this glorious, beautiful type A personality that, you know, striking. And I don't think when Jesus spoke to people, he put on a funny voice. I remember a lady coming to me once years ago and she said, God spoke to me through dream, prophecy, and vision in the night season. And straight away I went to heaven and the Lord said, no, I didn't. She's lying. And here's the point, God, just be natural and normal. And I think at times, actually pressing into normality, pressing into humility, and making these things, there's a trick I learned years ago from John Wimber. I did this on somebody the other night where I prayed for somebody. I think they were healed. I haven't heard the follow-up from that. But after praying for them, I said, hey, that'll be 5p. It would be like, that'll be saying, that'll be 5 cents, please. It's such a ridiculous thing to say. Here's what I'm doing. I'm not coming in as the great man of God from across the pond. Let's just lower, let's bring down the high places. So I think we need to do work on our personal culture, also a local church culture, that it's not weird. That hearing from God is natural and normal. I want leaders in my church to prophesy and hear from God, and I want them to take the trash out and clean the bathrooms and shovel snow or whatever that looks like in your context, to just be natural and normal and not weird. And I think if we practice that, frankly, if we set good examples of hearing from God in a way that isn't weird, younger believers will follow us. So absolutely we can do that without being weird. If God says to you something weird, well, that's one thing, but you adding to that and putting it in a weird package. You know, I've noticed that Satan loves to be supernatural and spectacular and like, demons love to scream and shout and whatever. Holy Spirit's, he's like a bird. He comes in gently and he's usually about 1% spectacular and 100% supernatural. And I've noticed that we make up in entertainment what we lack in power. Think about that. So the measure to which people heap on the hearing from, you know, the religiosity around that, the less they will do that. It's interesting. I was watching an interview, I think last week, with Sean Bolts, who's one of those people, probably the person I have ever seen alive now or in church history who hear from God. I've never seen anybody, just seen this guy again and again, you know, call out somebody's name, their address, their social security number, the username on their, you know, website or things like that. Just amazing details. And he is, to the degree that he's incredibly accurate and startling, to the same degree, he's incredibly humble. And he's just really usually starts saying, this could be me, it might be God, I might have gotten, I've got it wrong, I'm learning, I haven't got this all worked out. And he'll always give the glory to God. All of his words aren't about telling people what their social security, they know what their social security number was. It's about telling people the Father's love for them. And my point is, I watched this interview with a guy. It's amazing. This guy, Sean Bolts, was talking and reflecting, talking like a real person. And then they had this other preacher in this TV show sitting next to him. And straight away, the guy got into religion. I mean, Pentecostal faith, bless God. And it's just like he said nothing, but he put a lot of religiosity into the manner in which he communicated it. So let's bring down the high places in those things. Good. Question number four says, how can we actually really practically hear from God? I think that's a great question. Let me answer that in two ways. I'm trying to be brief, but number one, John 4:24, God is a spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. When God speaks to you and I, he's speaking spirit to spirit. It's really important we get that God, I mean, can he speak to your physical ears? Sure. But even if he did, your mind will kick in, and the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness unto him. When God spoke audibly, people were like, oh, is it thunder? So God can speak to our soul, amen, but God's normal communication is a spirit-to-spirit communication. Now again, let's go back to the previous question. Don't become weird. Oh, spirit-to-spirit. Just, that's not a weird thing, okay? But where I want to go with that is this, that we need that witness of the Spirit when God speaks to us. How we actually get the package, the information, so to speak, the message delivered is less important. But it's God speaks to us by His Spirit. So let me give you an example of what I mean. Well, I can read the Bible and just read a book and information and history or whatever. Or God, by His Spirit, can speak to me through this book. Boom. So how does God speak to us? Again, God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through nature, Romans 1. God speaks to us through ministries He set in the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and every other member of the body of Christ. At a real practical level, though, how does God, what does it look like to hear from God? I think for most of us, there are five ways, and usually one or two, that God will speak to us. Usually when we're hearing God, it will come to us like a still, small voice, like a tiny voice on the inside of us. And that's just my genuine experience, but I've heard other people say that as well, that when I'm hearing God, in the sense of Him saying, my son, I love you, it's very easy to hear Him. His voice is very loud. When I hear God, like at the moment, I'm really trying to press into every day, going up to somebody and having a word that, like their name or a family member or their address or something which will like go, whoa. Romans 1 Corinthians 14 says the secrets of somebody's heart will be revealed and they'll fall on their face and say, this is really true. So I'm just practicing that at the moment, and sometimes I get it and sometimes I miss it. But my point is, when I'm trying to hear God in a very accurate, precise, measurable a way where we're going to find out really quickly, was this God or was this Graham? We're in a way, it takes a lot more faith to, it takes a lot more faith to get a word of knowledge that says there's somebody here with a broken elbow than it does to say to somebody, hey, I've got a word of prophecy, God loves you and you're in transition and He's opening a door for you. The more accurate, the more testable, the more measurable something is, the more faith it takes. And the more faith it takes, in my experience, it's like the quieter that voice becomes. And what we need to learn to do is learn to listen. And I find when I'm hearing those things, it's literally like they run at a 1% rate. I don't know if that's just language to me. It's like it's so easy to miss them. It's like in and out, boom, gone. It's like, imagine if you were looking behind me. I have a street behind me here, and if there's a big red van driving behind me, you may notice it. If something just flew past like that, like the speed of sound, you look. That's to me often how God speaks in those things. So I think God can speak to us in that still small voice. And it's normal, it's pretty much normal and natural and not weird and not bizarre. It's not a different, God will speak to me in British or right now American English. He's speaking in a way that's familiar, like He did with Samuel in 1 Samuel 3. I think at times God speaks to me in visions. Again, when I was younger, I'd hear people talking about getting visions, and I'd go like, wow. You know, you see things floating by, and like occasionally, yeah, but 99.5% of the time for me, a vision is like a visual impression. And again, sometimes it's really fleeting and gone. It's like I see something in my mind's eye. If I should close your eyes right now and think of a parrot, you can probably vaguely get some visual picture of a parrot. And that's often how God will speak. I think at times in the spirit, we will feel things. I think in the spirit, there's that sort of knowing. I think sometimes it's like we can even smell things in the spirit. We just get that sense of like something smells, something spiritually smells right or smells wrong here. So in a way, there's like the see, smell, feel, taste, touch thing going on spiritually. What we don't need to do is major on how God speaks to us. Yeah, the ways, which I've seen a lot of people do in the last 20 years in the body of Christ. I think what we need to do is major on believing that God speaks to us. So if you go following a little voice in your head, you're going to get yourself in trouble. If you practice a life of worship, a life in the Word, a life of faith based on the fact, Father God, thank you, you do speak to me. How He speaks to you gets less important. It's the fact you believe He's speaking to you. And let me finish with that just on this question today. But you've got to have faith. If you doubt, the Bible says he who doubts is damned. And obviously we talk about being damned, cast outside of God's presence, but you're damned in the micro as well. You're damned in the process. For you to hear God, you need to believe God's speaking to you. If you begin to doubt, what we've got to do is learn to get rid of those doubts. And sometimes come in and get in a bunch of those verses, John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. And beginning to say every day, Lord, I thank you. I hear your voice. I am your sheep. I'm your child. I hear your voice. Thank you. You're speaking to me. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You are intimately involved in my life. You're showing me glorious things that I might love people with the kingdom of God. If we'll step into that realm, we'll see these things happen more and more. Boom. Good. My last question today is, and it's a good one. How can I tell the difference between God's voice and my own voice? And I can give you a few quick keys to this one. Really, the main thing is all about intimacy and worship. The bottom line is the more time we spend with somebody, the clearer the voice becomes to us. I think if my wife called me now and said one word or two words, I'd know exactly who it was. I wouldn't be like, who is this? Who is this? Occasionally people text me and they don't bother saying who it is. And, you know, of course, there's no way of knowing in a text. There's no intonation, there's no accent, there's no male, female, there's nothing like that. But my point is, I think all of us, I don't think anybody can help you on this journey. I think all of us have got to go on a personal journey of differentiating between our voice and God's voice. And I think we do that in really three ways. Spending a lot of time in his word, because when you read the word of God, you hear the voice of God. Secondly, in listening, in walking and talking. And I don't get weird with this. I don't mean you've got to sit there in a room with a candle and go zzz. I mean, I actually do mean though sitting there in a chair sometimes and saying, Lord, speak to me. And write down what you think he might be saying. Again, don't get too weird with that. Give yourself permission to say, this could be me, this could be God. And keep working and keep practicing it. A couple of practicals that have helped me though. Get a journal every day and write down what you think God is saying for your day. And then the next day, go back and look, did it happen or did it not happen? Now again, if we keep our faith at such a low level where we're writing down, God says, I'm going to love you and I'm going to walk with you. Now that's precious and priceless, but it's always true. You're never going to go back and say, yeah, God didn't love me yesterday. So ask God for some specific things and learn through experience, through recognition, through producing history, whether it was him or whether it wasn't him. Now, I'm on a whole new journey with this myself. I went on a journey years ago in terms of hearing from God and the word of knowledge, in terms of ministry, where I would go to a church and I began stretching my faith and setting my faith for a kind of level where in a church service I might get 5 to 10 words of knowledge. And they're pretty usually things about healing, about somebody having a condition in the room. And it's like I set my thermometer. I said, God, I don't want to be given the guys giving out words like somebody's got a bad back. I mean, of course, there's always somebody with a bad back. I want a specific enough thing that everybody will go, that's either God or it isn't God, that pushes coincidence out of the way in that way. Now, over the years, I've done that and I've taken ground. And I'll be honest, I function probably at about a 98% success rate in that thing. If I've got a word and nobody responds, I'll usually keep at it, say, come on, I know there's somebody, because I'm really sure when I'm hearing from God in that context. But I also acknowledge, I've been thinking about this recently, that's a safe context. It's like a comfort zone for me. I'm amongst believers. I'm in a place of authority, either my authority or I'm under somebody else's invited authority. It's an easy place for me, and I want to go further in hearing from God. So my current journey at the moment is every day I want to go to somebody and try and hear something. And then I'm going to say, was that God or wasn't it God? And I'm talking about like names, addresses, things like that. And I'm getting some right and some wrong. But I want to keep doing that until that is in the high 90s success rate. I think if we're going to grow in these areas, we've got to go on a journey of faith where we're stretching our faith and where we get feedback, where we actually begin to pretty much on a daily basis, find out that was God, that wasn't God. that was God, that wasn't God. And the more that we, I mean, hearing your own voice is easy. The more we try to hear from God and then get that, I'll call it that feedback loop of this really was God or it wasn't God, the more we distinguish. And the danger, again, really got to finish here, but I think the danger in some of the circles I spend time in, the spirit-filled, charismatic, prophetic, faithy kind of circles, like those are my, that's my stream. I love those guys. But often we keep the bar so low that nobody, if you're hearing from God, if nobody can ever come and say, well, that wasn't God, then the bar's too low. Yeah, hearing from God should be startling, should be glorious, should be amazing. So stretch your bar, create your own feedback loop, if that makes sense. Great. Thanks for watching, guys. Again, check out our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, really encourage you to do that. And new series out on prayer that went live today. So encourage you to check out that and all the links below, including our monthly mentoring group and my churches in New England and so much more. Thank you for watching. See you soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.